This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise Biz Bites on this Tuesday, the 21st of May. It's just after 12:04. I'm in the studio with...
It's a very quiet Tuesday. My name is Jeff Sando.
Arvinia Braj.
It's a lovely quiet Tuesday, right?
It is nice.
It is.
No problems on the road getting here this morning for either of you?
It felt the same to me because I come from Ampang and I have to, you know, and I still get the same KL traffic because a lot of people in KL are still working. It's the outskirts of KL that seems to be really dead.
Speaking of the outskirts, Arvin.
Yeah, it was fast. It was like faster than Game of Thrones season 6.
Oh!
Super fast.
Uh-huh. Let's move on from Game of Thrones.
No spoilers for anybody.
Anyway, if you'd like to get in touch with today's show, we're asking a very simple question. We are speaking about how Singapore have recently passed the fake news law, which critics, of course, fear will stifle free speech. Our question today, can fake news be fought with the law? 018-789-8899 is the number on WhatsApp, Twitter, and Instagram. We are over at BFM Radio. That's the story Jeff will be running with. We have some news clips. We have some little clips a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. We'll also be talking about how Microsoft and Sony will be forming an unprecedented gaming alliance. Mm-hmm. It sounds like some kind of movie title. And then we'll be wrapping up with how Google have suspended Huawei for a whole bunch of different reasons.
Yeah.
Mr. Sandu.
So which one you want? Because it feels like the Huawei and Google right. story is a little bit of like a my story anyways. But let's start with the fake news bill that has been introduced in Singapore. It's actually called the Protection from Online Falsehoods and Manipulation Act, and it will come into full force within the next few weeks. This enables the government to order the removal of content considered to be falsehoods that are against the public interest. According to reports by the BBC, the law can be applied across a broad range of platforms from social media to news websites, which will face penalties if they fail to comply with official orders to remove content or post corrections. It means that the tech giants like your Google, Facebook, Twitter, they all could be hit with fines of up to $1 million if they don't act quickly to limit the spread of falsehoods. Tech platforms will also be required to disable fake accounts operated by bots as well as block ads that served on fake news sites. Now, I'm not an expert when it comes to the law and the rules and regulations, so I actually got on the phone last week with a lawyer who's based in Singapore, Linus Ng, and I had a quick chat with him. And when I say quick, he actually, you know, I just asked him one question and he went on and like he's really passionate about this. And, you know, here I just kind of asked him, like, you know, just give me an understanding of the POFMA, which is the Protection from Online Falsehood and Manipulation Act. It's a lot, but you have a listen to this.
This particular bill itself was actually tabled in part to combat online falsehood. It's actually more to make sure that the falsehoods, whatever is being stated, are true statement of facts instead of, whatever, either false statements or false representations or inaccurate statements, for example. Okay? So primarily, it's to target falsehood. It is not to stifle any free speech or rendering of opinions, you know. So it is not like that. Okay, so that's one of the things that we have to take note, because the damage caused, I mean, we have got a whole lot of incidents whereby you can see, like, for example, online rumors itself can actually cause a lot of damage to the society. I mean, I give an example, like, in 2019, two videos actually went viral purporting to show men of South Asian descent attacking and robbing local women in Hong Kong. Now, this actually, the videos were actually taken in Romania and Malaysia. So they actually caused quite a fair bit of anti-refugee sentiments, criticisms of, you know, politicians defending refugee rights, for example. So all this are the I wouldn't call it unintended consequence, but all these are natural consequences that can flow from propagating such falsehood on the net because of the power of the social media, the ability to reach hundreds, if not thousands, at the same time. You can have a lot of irreparable damages if this is allowed to propagate. You see? So that's why they have this. The bill was introduced in April, and it finally got passed in Parliament some days ago, which is in May. And I must say, interestingly, there were a lot of heated debates on this because the proponents had certain thinking and certain objectives, which is basically to secure and to manage the rights of the public, not to be misinformed of certain falsehoods that float around by actors who may be malicious, you see. So the opponents are of the view that this will stifle free speech, will there may be this critical I would say condemnation, that it will it will discourage people from making critical comments against the government and against civil society, for example. So what the minister, actually, when he passed this through Parliament, has made it very clear that they are actually targeting only falsehoods. Okay? And the good part about it is that, I mean, if you look at the bill and the Act now, it's the Act already, they have got some key features, which if you look at the key feature number one, is the definition of what we call falsehood. So falsehood will be defined as statement of facts, okay, that is false or misleading. So it doesn't cover opinions, criticism, satire, or policy. So it doesn't mean that you can't criticize. It doesn't mean that you can't express an opinion. But you just got to make it clear that it is your opinion and it is your criticism. It is not a statement of facts. All right, so that is the first key feature. Second key feature is actually the correction, will be the primary action. So what the government will do is that if the falsehoods were actually detected, then corrections will be the primary response. What you online platforms may be required to do is to ensure that the corrections will be placed alongside the falsehoods and the facts are transmitted accordingly. So what will happen is that the reader can look at the falsehood and alongside the corrections, and then they can make an assessment for themselves. So this is, I would say that this is to ensure that, you know, the readers get a well-informed piece of news, and they can decide for themselves whether to believe the falsehood or not. So corrections are not criminal sanctions, but it's just that these are the measures that can be taken. Of course, if let's say you have an issue whereby the falsehood can actually lead to maybe some form of a public disquiet, or is meant to incite riots or create racial tensions, for example, then the minister has got the right to either and ask the platform to take it down or to take other measures. Now, this will, because of this criminal nature of the malicious actors in doing so, then criminal sanctions will then be imposed against the people who propagate. So this, it's important to bear in mind that this itself is one way to only to deter people from using the online platform to stir up all these issues in public, against public interest, inciting riots, for example. So we don't want a situation like that here in Singapore. So this is where criminal sanctions can then apply. Now, the criminal sanctions actually can be a fine up to $50,000, jail up to 5 years or both, all right, for an individual. But if it's a company or a corporation that's doing it, the fine can go up to $500,000, right? That is those for those who deliberately spread falsehood online, knowing that it will be against public interest.
So they have insisted, the Singapore government have insisted that the new law has safeguards against any abuse of power because it allows for judicial reviews of official orders. But of course, there are several campaign groups, they are alarmed, and tech companies, they've also expressed their reservations about this. The Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch Asia Division said that it's a direct threat to the freedom of expression, and it's something that the entire world should be alarmed about. Amnesty International said the law would give the Singapore authorities unchecked powers to clamp down on online views of which it disapproves. So I also kind of asked Linus, again, he's a lawyer based in Singapore, so he knows a lot about the sentiments there. And I kind of asked him just like the impact, what kind of impact this would have on the businesses, especially because we all know that Singapore is the hub for the digital hub for Southeast Asia, because many of the tech companies, they have a headquarters that's based in Singapore. So, you know, what kind of impact would this have on them?
Okay, the thing is that you're right to say that there will be an impact on businesses. That is, businesses are now, well, they have to ensure that they behave responsibly for whatever that they propagate. Because in any event, they should be responsible in the first place. But if they have not been, then they should now be responsible, because whatever that they do online, they must understand that it will have an impact on the general populace. So if they were to do certain campaign, or if they were to spread certain news, for example, then it is in their interest to ensure that whatever that has been said are true, you know. So it is to ensure that the statement of facts are actually brought out properly and accurately. So if any irresponsible propagation on their part, they will have to face sanctions. Now, primarily, like what I said earlier, it is still on a civil kind of sanctions, in the sense that correction will be placed alongside that falsehood. But if companies decide to go against society's interest by spreading falsehood, and they know jolly well that it will compromise either national security, or they will compromise some form of public interest, and they are doing it knowingly, or they have reasonable grounds to believe, and yet they still carry on with it, then they must be held responsible. So yes, there will be implications. Costs may go up for some businesses who are involved in, let's say, propagating news, for example, because now they may have to verify the source to make sure that they are reporting it accurately. But if they should have done so, you know, in the first place, just as a responsible organizations and corporations, they should have done so. So this, if they have not done, then yes, they must do so now.
So that was Linus Ng. He's a lawyer based in Singapore. And of course, our question for today is, you know, can fake news be fought with the law? And that's actually a question that I asked him, and we'll play that clip after the break. Because I think it is interesting that, you know, he seems very positive about the law being implemented. He says that, you know, he's very confident that the government will use this for the better good to combat fake news. It is a problem around the world. It's not just Singapore, Malaysia, Southeast Asia and all that. It is a global problem. But whenever you have these kind of laws that's in place, it feels very, you know, very draconian kind of style, right? It's a blanket kind of rule, right? So, you know, then we go into like, what actually is false, or what actually is true, and how do you define it? Who watches the watchman? There are all kinds of question marks that appears, but, you know, Singapore is a country that has so many rules that they are probably used to having rules to dictate what they do and what they can't do, right? You can't eat chewing gum in Singapore. Like, that's a rule that, you know, and people are used to that fact, right? So, you know, it is a country full of laws. So it seems like they're a bit more acceptable compared to, you know, we had the anti-fake news law. We were up in arms because, you know, we didn't trust the government back then of doing the right thing, right? But it seems like Singapore, according based to Linus, the sentiments there, it's like, yeah, you know what, fake news is a problem, maybe this will work. And it's step one. So can it actually be used to combat the real fake news? Well, we'll see what Linus says after the break. Yeah.
Give us some feedback as well, folks. Let us know what you think. Can fake news be fought with the law? 0187-89-8899 on WhatsApp, on Twitter, and on Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Short break with some music coming up right now from The Killers with Mr. Brightside. We'll be discussing more about this after these short messages. BFM 89.9.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes, ladies and gents. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Jeff Sandhu.
Today we're talking about fake news, more specifically how Singapore have recently passed their fake news law, which critics fear will stifle free speech. Our question, can fake news be fought with the law? Let us know. We've had some feedback already. Mm. We've got some tweets, and we've got a couple of WhatsApp messages.
Yeah, so let's go on WhatsApp. Dr. RK says, the law is the only way to combat fake news and falsehood on social media. I suppose, though, the law will deter and discourage people from irresponsibly posting fake news. The last thing we want is irresponsible quarters to stoke racial tensions through the sharing of news on social media, and they know it's inaccurate and false. And that's exactly what Linus was saying as well. You know, he's the lawyer that's based in Singapore. He said the exact same thing, that it is just to stifle people from actually spreading information that they know is false. They are intentionally doing this, and when there's that intent that you know, people have discovered, the authorities discovered, then that's where you are in trouble. If you didn't know, if your mom or your family or you yourself just shared an information without checking and stuff, you won't be brought to, you know, court and go into prison for doing that. It's more of like, you know, there are certain quarters that we all know of around the world, not just in this part of the world, but everywhere. They use social media to actually spread disinformation,
yeah,
and try to cause unrest in many different quarters, right? So, and we've got another message that came in here. Chan Wen Shen says, it's wishful thinking. People will still spread false news regardless of the law. And I guess it goes back to that too as well, right? You can have a law that will deter people from, you know, sharing something that they got, because it will make you question first. Like, wait, hang on a minute. Is this actually true? Because it doesn't sound true, right? Mm. And then you do a bit of research. We've stopped doing the you know, taking control of, you know, getting through the research. Like when you get a forwarded WhatsApp message, generally there's two rules. You either just dismiss it because you just think everything is fake, or you're one of those that will share and continue that chain, right? So what this law is trying to do is trying to deter the people who just, you know, continuously share, to like, hey, hang on a minute, just ask yourself, go online, do a bit of research. But, you know, it is like what Chan Wen Shen said, it is wishful thinking.
I've noticed that if somebody already has an opinion, or they already sit on a side of the fence before they receive that piece of news, you know, or whatever it is, and then they kind of read a piece of news that in some way reinforces their thoughts, they are more than likely to share it and pass that stuff on. And then when you question them about whether or not that source is legitimate, or whether or not it's believable, even if there's that slight shred of doubt, there's that, you know, pushback. Of course it's true.
Yeah.
Why are you not reading it? You should know about this. And it becomes, it then becomes a personal issue.
Because you like to believe stuff, right? Because you like to see if you are not confident in your government, then you want to get news that sort of like, you know, hits back at your government and says like, look at this minister is doing this, and this is what the government wants to do with this rule. And then you want to forward that stuff because it sort of reinforces what you believe.
Yeah.
You don't care if it's right or it's wrong, or where the news came from, or who made up the news in their room or basement or whatever, right? It's just if you believe something is true and someone sends you a message that even like slightly, even 50% says that sort of agrees with you, you're going to forward it to other people. And I think that's what like the Singapore government is worried about. What is interesting is different countries have different people reacting differently to their fake news. Like, of course, a lot of people are going to compare the fake news law that we had, and that got a lot of like backlash because a lot of people said we are going to abuse it and stuff. Personally, I can sort of understand that. I think Singapore would be able to use their fake news law better than what the previous government would have done. Simply because Singapore is more, I don't know what's the proper word for it. It's more mature with its laws. It's more used to implementing laws like this, and
you mean the politicians or the kind of public are more
the society, used to, the society right. as okay. it okay. is okay. yeah okay. Is more mature with their laws. I mean, they have a, like Jeff said, they have a lot of laws.
So you mean the more accepting of these laws that are passed?
Yeah, in Singapore, enforcement is actually a real deal.
Oh,
right?
I know.
So because of that, there, you know, whether it strikes fear or whether it's just some type of education, the enforcement is there. So, you know, when you drive in Singapore, you don't want to break the speed limit because you fear that, you know, some police is going to come and stop over and, like, you know, it's going to fine you for it. But here in Malaysia, you know, you know, speed limit says 80. Ah, it's all right. You know, I'm doing 160. That's just double. It's all right. But you have, you know, there's no that sense of fear that, oh, you know what, the government will do something on me. So maybe, I guess that's what Arvin's trying to point out. Like, because they know the government will enforce and probably use this for the better, because they have assured the authorities, the ministers have assured that they will only use this to combat what is deemed fake and what is deemed false, right? So that is an important aspect of it, right? They're not just going to use something that, you know, it's against the government. Like, you know, Linus, you know, I asked him about this, and, you know, we're going to play a clip here. I spoke to him a few days ago, and he's a lawyer from Singapore. And asked him, can actually, you know, laws like this fight the spread of misinformation and disinformation? Because it seems like everyone's just trying to figure a way out to fight this battle, but so far, none is working.
Well, the thing is that this act itself is a starting point, because we believe that it's a step in the right direction, in the sense that there are certain procedures in place, there are certain protocols to be followed, and there are certain recourse which, if you feel that there's any grievances, you can always resort to. Now, the procedures and the protocols itself actually follows like simplified steps. Like, for example, is it a false statement of fact in the first place? So opinions and criticisms are actually not covered. Then you move on to, is it in the public interest to take action? Now, this is when the minister will have to make a call, because sometimes if you were to delay in taking action, then you may have caused irreparable damages, you know, for irreparable damage in this particular case to the society. Like, for example, if it has caused citing some form of a riot or social unrest, that would have been disastrous. Then, if it is to be corrected, for example, or there's an issue, then what an action should be taken. Like, for example, the primary response is actually correction, but whether it's taking down the particular falsehood, that depends very much on the nature and the substance of this particular falsehood and the intentions of the parties putting it up. And of course, criminal sanctions is only in if there's any malicious intent. The final arbiter of whether certain things is falsehood is the court. Now, this is important because this will sort of, if you feel that you have been aggrieved by the decision, then you can always resort to the court. So if for those who feel that they have their free speech has actually been stifled or has been compromised in one way or another, they can always resort to the petition to court itself to say that, you know, whatever that they have said is doesn't fall within the ambit of the act itself.
Yeah, so we're going to go to a few more WhatsApp messages. Johan says, for short term, the law should work, but for long term, education is the key.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally believe and agree with that. Education is the key. So, yeah.
We are going to take a very short break, ladies and gents, but please keep feeding back. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You want us on Twitter? We're at BFM Radio. We've got some music coming up now from Elvis Costello with Miracle Man. When we come back, our second story of the day, Microsoft and Sony forming an unprecedented gaming alliance. More details on that in just a few minutes. We're going to take a very short break. Enterprise BizBytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.